Welcome. We're glad you've joined us for this Hand in Hand podcast. Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization, and we provide information, classes, training, and lots of support for parents like you. We call our approach Parenting by Connection, and it's based on the insight that you deserve good support as you parent, and every child needs lots of connection in order to thrive. We offer tools to help you foster support for yourself and connection in your family. We hope this podcast gives you exactly the kind of support you're looking for.
I am Julianne Eidelman. I've been with Hand in Hand Parenting for 10 years now. I was once a very, very tired parent, and I'm pleased to say that the tools from Hand in Hand really made a huge difference for my family, and I'm very proud to be able to share them. Hand in Hand has a lot of different resources that can help your whole family getting the sleep that you all need. One of the things that we're going to talk about tonight is some different ways to play that let kids build confidence and become more resilient and more flexible and able to kind of go with the flow. And I want you guys to know I really appreciate you coming. So I'm going to give you a free podcast collection that will help you review some of the things we talk about tonight and get some more ideas. It's called the Power of Laughter Podcast Collection. It's on the Hand in Hand website. It's under Parenting Tools, and then you'll see Podcasts, and just look for Laughter on the list. When you put it in your cart, you want to type in the discount code 2016 Free Play. And I made the capital, the F and the P capitals. I'm not sure that really matters, but just so you know, the way the discount was created, it says 2016 Free Play, all one word, but with a capital F and a capital P. And I hope that you'll enjoy that and you'll be able to take some time with it later. It's four different podcasts. One of them is from Dr. Larry Cohen, who you're also going to hear more about tonight. Later on, we're going to have one of the people on the class with us, or on the call with us tonight, is going to get a free seat in our online class about helping your kids with sleep. So we'll talk about that in a bit. For those of you that didn't hear Marianne's initial reason why she joined us tonight, you're in the right place if you're tired, if you know your kids could get better sleep than they do, if you're sick to death of the bedtime ritual, and also you're in the right place if you have a child like the one this mom wrote in about. I have a child who has always struggled with sleep, not staying asleep. He does well with that, but he says he's scared to sleep by himself. He won't fall asleep by himself, won't sleep in his own bed. He has a lot of failings whenever we've tried to move him toward more sleep independence through the years. This is exactly what I want to talk about tonight. I want to think together about sleep, and I want to talk about some things that can help sleep. I've set our call onto what they call lecture mode right now, just to keep the noise down. If you have a question or something to add to the conversation, you want to get my attention, just press *2. And it'll show me that you've raised your hand, and we can address whatever it is that you want to talk about. First, we're going to start out. I want you to just think with me for a minute about sleep. I don't know about you, but I was definitely one of those kids who was scared about going to sleep. I seriously thought that Frankenstein might just be in the back of my closet. And I would sleep with literally dozens of stuffed animals piled around me in the bed. I'm sure I looked like E.T. in the movie where he hides in the stuffed animals. I did not have sleep confidence. So let's just think about it for a minute. Sleep is a little scary. Usually happens in the dark. When you're asleep, you're really vulnerable. Something could get you while you're asleep. When you're asleep, it's almost like you're not there, so you could miss something. You might have crazy dreams. There's a lot going on when you sleep. And I think it's a normal and natural reaction for children to be uneasy about sleep. Just think about, just imagine, you know, our ancestors hundreds of years ago, everybody slept pretty close together. It's a safe way to sleep. We're very social creatures, and we live in groups. So for thousands of years, and still today, in many cultures, people sleep with their infants, their babies, their young children. And if that works at your house, then by all means do it. There's lots of great information these days about how to co-sleep safely. And if it works, and you get the sleep you need, and your partner gets the sleep they need, and your kids get the sleep they need, then I'm happy to say, go right ahead and co-sleep. The problem is that it doesn't work for a lot of us. And so what happens is, in modern society, especially in the U.S., lots of things happen while the baby's asleep. So if you're sleeping on the same schedule that they are, you're not going to get anything done. Parents need more time in their day, and they often want some time to themselves, or they need some time with their partner, or they have older kids who want to do other stuff while the baby's asleep. So this doesn't always work for everybody. While it is perfectly natural for your baby or young child to protest in this situation where they're alone or they're away from you, or just think about it. Just imagine, you know, no chimpanzee sets their baby off all alone in a tree somewhere and then sleeps somewhere else. We're social creatures, and we're wired to send up a signal if we're left alone when we're small and vulnerable. So you've kind of got to work against that wiring. Your baby or young child, they know they're small. They know they're vulnerable. If they feel unsafe going to sleep alone, you have not failed in any way. They're just normal mammals. That's what they do. They feel unsafe trying to go to sleep. You have a sense of safety as an adult that includes locked doors, a good neighborhood, no other adults in the area, that it includes lots of things that your children really aren't aware of yet in the same way. So your children sometimes need to borrow from your sense of safety so that they can feel safe and develop that confidence to feel like, oh, it's okay. I'm fine. Mom's watching out for me. Dad's watching out for me. And I can relax and go to sleep. I don't need to worry about anything. Shifting that sense of safety is part of what we're going to talk about tonight. How to transfer that confidence to your child. There are other children, in fact, many, many children, experience sleep as a separation, even if they're sleeping right next to you. I'm sure many of you have the experience that your children want to devour every second they can get with you, and that all they really want is your full attention 24 hours a day. And they don't easily let go of you. So the child that's feeling separation anxiety also needs more confidence around sleep and more of an ability to let go of that anxiety and be flexible that there will be enough of you and time with you. So even the most secure child in the world wants as much time with you as they can get and enjoys being with you and doesn't want that time to end. So your kids love you. They want to see you. They want to be with you. For a lot of kids, that's why it's hard to sleep. They don't want to let go of you. And that's hard. Because, of course, you love them, too. But you've got to have a minute to yourself. And you've got to get the laundry done. You've got to pay the bills. You've got, there are other things you want to do. And you have every right to a break. You absolutely deserve lots of breaks as a parent. So while you're going through this process of helping your child with sleep, what we're looking for is a number of ways for your child during the day to feel connected with you, to feel safe, secure, and to really soak in your attention so that they don't need it so bad at night. We call this, you know, filling up their cup. We want them to really know and feel deep down that you're watching out for them. You're paying attention to them, you see them, and you are going to take care of them. They don't have to worry. They don't have to be anxious about going to sleep. So what needs to happen to transfer or extend this confidence to your child? And there are a number of things in the podcast collection that I want you guys to download and take advantage of. If you weren't here at the very beginning of the call, the discount code to get the Power of Laughter podcast collection is 2016 Free Play. Go ahead and put that into your cart and then put the discount code. It's absolutely free, and I hope you enjoy it. There are a number of things in that podcast that are going to give you ideas about physical play, about roughhousing, about something that we call play listening, and, of course, our favorite tool, special time. Physical play can be really key in helping your child develop confidence. And I'm talking about all the stuff your mom may have told your dad not to do with you when you were trying to go to sleep as a kid. Rowdy, laughing, roughhousing, bed jumping, horsey rides, sock wrestling, get the kids to both feel their physical power, ability, agility, and to really know that they are capable. So if you're doing, if they're doing something where they're jumping on the bed and you're trying to snatch at their feet to pull their feet out from under them on the bed so that they'll land sitting, play with this in a way that lets them win and get away from you and not get tripped up more than otherwise. If you're giving them a horsey ride around the room, let them tell you how fast they want to go, or let them direct how you go, where you go. Let them kind of be in charge. And if you play this game where we call it sock wrestling, it's this crazy game where the person who has the last sock left on in the wrestling match is the person who wins. So the idea is that you will wrestle around with your child and try to get one another's socks pulled off. And of course, you're trying to defend your socks. But what I want you to do is put up a good fight, but let them win. You want to work at their level of ability so that you're giving them enough resistance to really feel what they're capable of. So don't just roll over and put your feet up, but play with them in a way that lets them get ahead a little, that lets them be the powerful one and win. Or make up your own, you know, your kids have probably already made up games of physical jumping, running, playing, that kind of stuff. Don't be afraid to get a lot of laughter going before your child needs to settle down and go to sleep. Laughter is a great way to release stress. It's good for you. It's good to connect you and your child together. If you're laughing together, that's a good thing. It's good for your relationship, and it can really help them let go of the aggravations of the day or whatever is kind of on their mind or has got them keyed up. And for even more ideas about physical play and building resilience in your children, again, check out the podcast that's in the collection that includes our founder, the founder of Hand in Hand, Patty Whipler, and Dr. Larry Cohen. He's the author of Playful Parenting and also a guide to roughhousing. And he also wrote a really interesting book about it's called The Opposite of Worry, and it's about children and anxiety and helping kids with things they worry about, and it can also be really useful for things to think about to help your child build their sleep confidence. The other tool that I want to talk to you about tonight is something that if you've been around Hand in Hand for a while, you may already be familiar with, and this is a tool that we call Special Time. Special Time is not just hanging out playing with the kids. Special Time is a very particular and specific use of your attention and focus and warmth in a way that lets your child soak up as much as possible of that feeling in a short and limited amount of time. Special Time is an efficient way for you to deliver your loving attention to your child, even though there are a million other demands on your time. Special time lets you use 5 minutes, 2 minutes. It lets you use little bits of time in a way that's really therapeutic for children, and it helps them feel more confident and secure. So, in order to do special time in a way that's really going to make a difference for your child, you need to do a couple things. You need to name that time, and I don't care if you call it special time, you can call it whatever you want, but it needs to have a name so that you can talk with your child about it, and it needs to be anticipated. So if you have a very young child, you might say, right after your snack, we're going to have special time. For an older child, you might tell them, Saturday afternoon after school, or when the school week's done, when your homework's done, we're going to have special time then, and let them think about it. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of knowing that you had time coming up with a really close friend or a therapist, maybe your minister, somebody that you knew was really going to listen to you and pay attention to you. Just the idea that that time is coming up can help you get through things that are difficult for you right now. So let your child anticipate special time. During special time, what your job during special time is to demonstrate for your child, model for your child the kind of enthusiastic cooperation you want from your child the rest of the time. If they want to dump out the dog food and throw it around the room, as one of the parents in our discussion group experienced earlier today, if that's what they want to do during special time, yay, hooray, let's make a mess. You love it. If it's not going to get one or both of you killed, you love it. And you let the child be in charge. You follow their lead. And you can do this even with a toddler. Follow their lead in play. And join them in their world. Special time can be a fascinating window into what's going on with your child right now, what they're thinking about, what's important to them. And I gotta tell you, it can also be really, really hard to do. You're a parent. You're stressed. You've got a million demands on you, and dinner needs to be cooked, and the house needs to be picked up, and there's a lot going on. I get that. But just for a few minutes, you need to set aside everything else. It's you and that child. One adult, one child. And they have your full and complete attention during that amount of time. So you need to set a timer somewhere. You need the timer so that you know that there's really only 4.5 more minutes of playing Barbie. And the kids need the timer too. Because the other time that you spend with them, the time that you spend playing with them, the time that you spend on games and puzzles and whatever else you guys like to do together is wonderful. Please keep doing that. But this time is special because it's not a constant negotiation. If you're playing with your child or you're out at the park with your child and the phone rings, you're probably going to answer it. Or maybe you're just going to check it to see what's going on. If you run into a friend there, you're going to stop and talk to them and say hi. It's constantly a negotiation, and your child doesn't know for sure that they've got your full attention. But during special time, for that 5 minutes, for that 10 minutes, for that half an hour, if you can do that, they know they have your full and complete attention. And that's really valuable to them. Children will show you and tell you and work out things during special time when they have that bounded safety time. They will make good use of that time. And it will build their resilience. It will build their relationship with you. It will build their confidence. So this is also a wonderful way to deal with sibling rivalry. So, Marianne, that's your challenge. Finding some way to have special time with your older child while the younger one sleeps or somebody else is with the baby or however you can work that out. Sharing time with another parent might work. Think about it. Get creative. Even if it's just 5 minutes here and there, it makes a big difference and it builds this lifelong foundation of trust. When you have a regular practice of special time, your child knows deep in their bones that you are willing and able to set aside everything else that's happening in your life and really focus on them. Even if it's only a limited amount of time, that can feel tremendously good to your child. And later, as your child gets older and they need to talk to you about things, they're going to rely on that foundation. You know, when they're in kindergarten and one of their friends steals something from school and they don't know how they feel about that, they know they can come to you and they can talk to you about whatever it is they need to talk to you about. They know if they've told a lie or if they've done something they don't feel good about, that you'll make space to hear them because you've done this practice of special time. So start out slow, and if you want specific suggestions, there's a, let me find it for you. There's a series of YouTube videos that I made about doing special time and all the little nuances of special time. So it's on YouTube, on the Hand in Hand Parenting channel. And if you go under playlists, the playlist is called The 10-Minute Tool to Dramatically Change Your Child's Problem Behavior. And I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, but honestly, you're going to be amazed how much difference 10 minutes can make, or 5 minutes, or 2 minutes, or whatever you need to start with to be committed to this practice is good. If you can do 2 minutes, fabulous. It's the quality of the attention is really much more important than, oh my God, I survived a half an hour of special time. Do this in small amounts of time. So in the videos, I talk a little bit more about things that can happen in special time, like your child might test you during special time. And there are challenges that can come up during special time. And I can promise you that if you get in the habit of doing special time with your child, that they are absolutely going to take the opportunity to test some taboo things. And I really encourage you to see if you can let them. Try to find a way to let them. For this 5 minutes, try to see if you can find a way to let them jump on the couch or whatever it is, throw food. Just what are the taboo things that your child really wants to try out that really make you nuts. Splashing water all over the bathroom is often one. If it's bounded into special time, it is way easier to tell your child, you know what, we're not doing that right now. But if that's what you want to do during special time, then for that 5 minutes, we'll find a way to make it work out. It gives your child a place to go with things they're trying to figure out. And there are some great examples of this. And on the blog on our website, you can see some of the crazy things that kids do with their special time. The important thing to think about as far as how in the world is doing special time when I'm already exhausted going to help my child actually sleep? Putting in that extra energy really does make a difference in your child feeling confident that you are paying attention and you do care for them. And that's a very important way of transferring that confident understanding that you have that they're perfectly safe in their own bed. They're absolutely 100% perfectly safe in their own bed. And you would never be leaving them there otherwise. There are lots of reasons that they don't feel that way. But you want them to know. So whether it's through roughhousing, whether it's through other types of physical play, whether it's through special time, there are definitely things that you can do to help your child feel that connection with you. When a child can let go of the feelings, the frustration, the stupid baby took mom's attention again when I was trying to tell her about my brilliant Lego collection. Whatever it is that's on your child's mind or that your child is working through or whatever feelings or anxiety that are revving up the limbic system, those are things that we want to help our children let go of and get relaxed about during the day when everybody's awake. So that at night, your child is thinking well. At night, your child is able to relax because that makes it easier for them to really tune in to your mental state. A child that's relaxed and comfortable and has their cup filled up, when your child is feeling good, your child is kind. They're generous, and they notice other people, and they notice how other people are feeling. Your child is built to be really in tune with you, and if you can help them relax and feel that connection, it's easy for them to borrow your sense of safety at night. Because if they're kind of, you know, they've got all this emotional gunk from the day or from whatever is bothering them out of the way. And it's easy for them to feel that you know they absolutely are safe in their bed. And it really is time to sleep. And you're going to be there for them in the morning. And it's all good. They already know how to play, to cooperate, how to feel safe. They know all these things. But you can help them tune into that with some techniques like this. Let me talk a little bit about what I'm not talking about in this call. Children who have been through traumatic experiences, children who have been through lots of medical procedures, children who had a very difficult time at birth or had to be separated from you when they were born, children like that that have issues with sleep often have a larger emotional project going on around these bigger issues. So that might take some work on your part. I know one of the moms who is a big fan of Hand in Hand came to us because she had an adopted child that would not sleep and was just awake as early as possible and as late as possible and up in the night. And her child really needed a lot of reassurance. And that child also needed to be able to feel those anxious and upset and alone feelings in a safe context. And that's not something that 10 minutes of special time is going to cure. But for your average child who's having a normal birth and normal childhood experiences, I mean, we all have traumatic experiences, but for the normal amount, building a practice of physical play and special time can be hugely helpful. Another way that you can strategically apply special time is if you have a kid that resists going to sleep and you have a very busy morning schedule. Because your child is, they're experiencing this sleep period as a separation from you. They wake up. Mom is here. Dad is here. We're all together. This is wonderful. No, honey, get up. Hurry up. Eat your breakfast. We got to get out of here. We got to get dressed. We got to get to daycare. We got to get wherever. If you have that kind of a morning where your child is waking up to yet another separation, get up 5 minutes early. Get up 10 minutes early. And have a little bit of special time with your child first thing in the morning, still in your pajamas, first thing, so that what they wake up to is you. What they wake up to is a reunion. What they wake up to is your full attention, even if it's just 5 minutes, so that they're able to move more easily into whatever the next transition is. That's a wonderful way to use special time to get your kids out the door. You fill them up first thing in the morning, and they feel good, they feel confident, they've got some attention, they know you're there for them, they remember how much you love them. They're much more able to get themselves going in the morning, to follow directions, and to cooperate. So that's really the basics of what I want to cover tonight. There are lots of ways that Hand in Hand can help you with these experiences and with learning more and applying things more deeply. One of the things that is really, I think, are extremely useful is calls like this one. So if you want to know about other parenting calls that are coming up, just go to the website and take a look at the list of free parenting calls. There are several on the books in the next few weeks. I think the next one that happens is about hitting, biting, aggression, that kind of thing. So if you have a child that not only won't sleep, but gets aggressive or hits or kicks or bites or pinches, or what are those toddlers that scream when they're upset? We can definitely help with that. So get yourself signed up for that parenting call and take advantage of the free parenting calls. There's also discussion groups for parents where you can go and talk with other parents who are using this approach and get their advice, get their support, get their ideas if you're applying things differently or if you have questions about, am I doing this right? They've got lots of been there, done that experience to share, and they'll be happy to have you. There, if you go to the website and you look under the discussion, blog and community is where they are, and you go over to the community section, then just click on the green community, and it'll bring up a link to both. You can be part of the discussion group either through email, if that works best for you. There's a group on Yahoo, and you can just join that, and it will, the post from it will show up in your email. Or you can join the big group, the main group on Facebook, is Hand in Hand Parent Support. And there are also lots of other subgroups. If there's a particular group that you're looking for, just let us know in that main group. Like there's one for parents of preteens, and there's one for parents in the Bay Area. There's one for parents in New York City. There are groups, different kinds of groups forming all the time. So if you're looking for a particular one, one thing I want to tell you about tonight, though, is our online video classes. There is one specifically to help you with sleep. It's under parenting tools, under self-guided classes. So what that means is the class is a combination of videos and reading materials and homework and practice things that you do with your child over 3 weeks. So, or longer if you need to. You have access to it for months and months and months. So, but it's a way for you to really get into what is going on with this sleep issue and how do I address it. If you want to do a deep dive into really fixing sleep issues at your house, the self-guided classes, they're inexpensive. The classes are $39, and the one on sleep has hours and hours of video on different topics that walk you through how to work through a child's sleep issue so that you can get the sleep that you need, so that you have more energy to connect with your child, so that you and your partner are both getting the sleep that you need instead of trading off, okay, I'm exhausted, you get up with the kid in the night tonight. It's so much easier to be a good parent when you're getting the sleep that you need. So the self-guided online classes have 10 to 15 minute videos in them. They have instant access to videos and MP3s and reading materials and the Listening to Children booklet set, the booklets that we always recommend for parents who are using all of our different tools. You get the full set when you take the online classes. So there's great stuff in there that can help you. There's also lots of great articles or testimonials about how people have worked with these tools and helped their child with sleep in our blog. If you go to the website and you just go to the search and type in sleep, you're going to get a list of articles and anecdotes from real parents who have used these tools at home. There are a couple that I really like and I recommend. And so there's one called Stay Listening at Bedtime that I think is a great example of how this can work. There's another one called No More Sleeping in Mommy's Bed. And there's another one about helping my daughter sleep in her own bed. And there's lots more. So take a look and get a feel for how it's worked for other parents and see what they did. and think about whether that makes sense at your house. You're the expert. You're the one that knows your child and knows what's going to work for your family and what's not going to work for your family. But I think it's really worthwhile to look and see how things have gone for other families just to get an idea of what's possible. And then you can decide what's a good fit at your house. If you have a really challenging situation with around sleep and you want some private one-on-one time to get some help with that, you are certainly welcome to book some time with one of our consultants and to have a full, you know, you can have an hour-long consultation with an experienced instructor that's completely focused on your family and your needs and exactly what your situation is. If that's something that you feel would really help you, then please take a look under Work with an Expert. You can get the details about our one-on-one consultation. Many of our consultants are, they're all certified Parenting by Connection instructors. They all know backwards and forwards how to use this approach. They all understand the science behind it. They all understand, you know, what's going on neurologically. They have experience with their own children. Some of them are also their therapists, their social workers, their teachers. You know, they have other experience with children as well professionally. So we can find a consultant that's a good match for your family. Another thing that you can do is you can start a local study group. You can get the booklets. There's a guide to how to do this so that you and some, I don't know, friends of yours or people in your local parenting group or just people that you know from Facebook or any way, people start study groups in all different kinds of ways. And there are some examples in the guide. And we can also help you if you want to start a study group in your local community, then you can get the guide and we can advertise it for you to our mailing list or to our Facebook page and help you get started. It can be so wonderfully nurturing and reassuring to have real life parents that you know that you can talk to about how hard it can be sometimes. So if you'd like to start a local study group, grab the guide from the website, check it out. And if you're just so tired and so frustrated with your situation that you really don't know where to start or what to try next, try out a listening partnership. It's free. It's not easy, but it's simple. It can take some courage to ask somebody to exchange some listening time with you, but you could always find somebody to try it with or practice this on one of the discussion groups. And all you really do is listen to that other person and be there for whatever it is that they're frustrated with, they're sick of, they're, you just hold in your mind the idea that they're a good parent and that everybody gets fed up, everybody gets frustrated. If you have somebody to share that with, you can let off the emotional static the same way that your child can when they're laughing with you or playing with you or doing special time with you or if you're stay listening with them. You know, those are all wonderful ways to help your child feel better. A listening partnership is a great way for you to help yourself feel better. And if you want a more structured way of learning about listening partnerships, learning about how to apply the tools, you can always take a class. There are instructors in many different locations in the United States, in Australia, in the UK, in Switzerland. There's one in China. There are instructors locally. If you're in the Bay Area, there are classes several times a year in Palo Alto, in Berkeley, in San Francisco. And there's always classes online. So when you take a Parenting by Connection starter class, it's really different from what you're doing in the sleep class that I mentioned earlier. During the self-guided class, it's you at your own pace with the videos and the materials, review them as much as you want, you know, do your thing. When you take a Parenting by Connection starter class, you get to do all the same things with the video material that's in your online classroom and with the audio material, with the reading material, with the practice, but you also get 6 weeks of phone calls in a very small group. You know, it might be 3 other parents. And you'll meet with those other parents and with a dedicated instructor. It's the same instructor. All 6 weeks to the same group of parents. You get to know one another. You get to learn about their struggles. You get to share your struggles. And you get to practice releasing some of the stress that happens with parenting. And you get to ask all your questions as you start applying the tools, as you start doing special time, as you start setting limits with a special way of setting limits that helps to build cooperation in the family. There are all these little nuanced things. If you're the kind of person that you really want to talk to somebody about how to do all this, then you might want to join a Parenting by Connection starter class. And you might want to start with the Helping Your Children Sleep class. It's $39. You can check it out. You've got weeks and months to do it. And then if you decide you want to talk to an instructor, then you could go on to a Parenting by Connection starter class, or you could do it the other way. If you know right now that you're just the kind of person that really wants to talk with somebody to apply new things, then that's another way you can do it. So classes you can join, you can get the booklets, you can join our discussion group and talk to other parents. You can take a class, you can do all these different things. And what I want to do right now is I'm going to give a seat in the online classroom to somebody that's here on the phone with us right now, so that you can have a look at this Helping Your Child Sleep class. And that person is in Newburgh, New Jersey. Or at least your phone says you're in Newburgh, New Jersey. The phone says, where is it? Okay, if you're in Newburgh, New Jersey, and I lost you somehow, if you're hearing this on recording, please send me an email. I will be happy to give you your free seat in the class. But since I somehow lost that number, instead, I'm going to give it to someone in New Jersey whose phone may or may not say David Huang. If your phone number ends in 7805, then I'd like to give you a free seat in our Helping Your Child Sleep class. Send me an email. And I'm Julie. It's My name is really Julianne, so to get to Julie, it's just J-U-L-I at handinhandparenting.org. So if either of you are hearing this and would like to take a free seat in the Helping Your Children Sleep online self-guided class, we would love to have you. Okay, so a few minutes left if anyone has questions. Let me take us off. Okay, there. If it's loud where you are and you want to mute at your house, then press star 6. And if you have a question, let us know what it is. All right. If your phone number ends in 0811, please go ahead.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can. My name's Luz.
Hi, Luz. How are you?
I'm okay. I have 3.5-year-old twins and a 22-month-old. My twin girl is the one that struggles with sleep. And I realized on the call that it's probably that she has an emotional project. But I do have a question about the rough housing. Is that something that should be done or recommended to be done right before bed? Or is it be like an early process, an early part of the bedtime routine?
So you're really going to have to figure out how it works best in the house. Wait a second.
I'm having a hard time hearing you. I'm sorry.
Hang on. I'm going to put us back on extra mode while I answer your question. Okay. So it really depends on what works at your house. When my youngest were small, it worked best for us really close to bedtime. So we were already in pajamas, teeth were already brushed. It was like, we're going to rough house and play, and then we're going to flop down in bed, and we're going to read stories. That was our routine. So we would read a couple of stories. So it just depends how that works best for you. The thing I think that made the big difference for her was lots of physical contact. She has lots of physical contact from the roughhousing and playing, and then I lay down with her, and we read our books in close physical contact. So that close physical contact kind of transferred from playing our games to laying down in bed. And I think it really helped bring that closeness together, and it really helped her feel full.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you've got two other children.
Right.
So you're going to have to see what works. It might make more sense for you to try to get it in during the day so that she has whatever you can do to help her feel physical mastery or to let off stress around physical mastery is good.
Mm-hmm.
If you trip or drop something and she thinks that's funny, do it 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
Be the clumsiest person in the world. That role reversal of you being the one struggling to do something physically can really let her laugh and let go of whatever feelings she may have about being small or competing with her brother or who knows what. So you don't have to know really exactly what's going on in order to fix the problem and help her feel more confident.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if at bedtime, and I realize that it is different with a child with an emotional project, but I'll go ahead and ask it anyway. At bedtime, she doesn't so much. She doesn't have any feelings that really come. She doesn't cry. She just says she wants me there, and then I tell her I'll come back and check on her, and she's okay with that. But it's like endless check-ins. Again, I realize it's an emotional project now.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it, doesn't it?
So some kids are just like that. They're really sensitive to whether they have a good connection or not, whether they're safe or not. And mm-hmm. they keep checking themselves, and that's what keeps them awake. They are constantly, mm-hmm. they're monitoring their environment for danger, for want mm-hmm. of a better word. I mean, I'm sure she understands, even at a very young age, that a tiger is not going to come into her room and eat her.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not smart in the wiring to be without the great big person that protects you when you're trying to lay down and be completely vulnerable. So she's working against her own wiring. She mm-hmm. needs to borrow that. She needs to be able to feel the way mm-hmm. you are feeling. And she can't do that if she's caught up in, you know, lots of daily sibling struggles, or lots mm-hmm. of daily frustrations, or lots of, you know, if there's a lot of junk on your mind, it's hard to know how you really feel, let alone how somebody else really feels. So mm-hmm. whatever you do with special time, with physical play, with other games and things you can do with her to build that resilience and build that confidence, it's all going to help. Mm-hmm. And you might need to do more of that, or you might need to do that longer than someone else, because mm-hmm. she's got this emotional project. She's got more of that stuff to work on mm-hmm. than your average kid, but mm-hmm. it's still going to help. It's still going to make a big difference.
Okay, that was helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad you're here with us. All right, anybody else? I know it's 7:03. So if you want to ask a question, press *2. And if your phone number ends in 9177, please go ahead. Hi.
Hi, my name is Liza. Can you hear me?
Hi, Liza. I can hear you.
Thank you for all this information. It's very helpful. I have a daughter who will be 4 next week, and a lot of what you're describing, you know, she already is a director. She likes to direct all of our action all of the time. Needs a lot of has never really learned to do a lot of playing on her own. Just wants attention, my attention constantly, mostly mine. So there's a lot of struggles around that. What I'm realizing is that possibly the special time is something that, even though I feel like we constantly have special time, that possibly naming it, setting a timer, and doing all that might make some huge differences. What I'm wondering is, do you recommend describing or explaining what that time is? How is that different, how that's going to be different than other times we spend together?
Well,
do you have a thought on that?
It's got the name. Mm-hmm. It's got the timer. And let the timer be the bad guy. Let the timer tell you both when it ends. So don't keep time yourself, because that puts you in charge mm-hmm. of the time. And tell her, during this time, I'm going to do whatever you want.
Okay.
I'm not going to answer my phone. If someone comes to the door, I don't care. I'm not doing anything, but we're going to play. What do you want to play? What do you want to do on our time? And what you might want to do once you start adding special time in is at the same time you might want to start setting limits during the day when she's getting bossy.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, you know, you can be in charge of that in special time, but right now, this is how we're going to do it.
Okay.
You can move that behavior into the kind of the care and attention of the special time box, and while at the same time set limits on it in the rest of the world. Because think it through with me.
Right. Okay,
what you're saying to me is that she's really controlling.
Yes.
Why does a child need to be controlling? Because she's not able to feel that things are already under control.
Mm-hmm.
She's not able to clearly feel that you're the adult and you've got this.
Right.
I'm not trying to say that this is in any way your fault.
Well,
but she's gunked up, and she's not able to be sensitive to the fact that you are in charge, and you are keeping her safe, and you're taking care of everything. So when you allow her to come up against whatever is keeping her from feeling safe, like she's trying to control things to manage anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
She feels uncomfortable when other people are in control because she isn't able to feel that it's all safe.
Right.
So that if you sit with some of that uncomfortable, I don't feel safe, this feels yucky, I don't feel good feeling during the day by setting a limit,
right,
saying, no, honey, I'm sorry, you don't get to be in charge of that right now. I mean, don't go out of your way, but when it comes up, put up just stop her. Just physically stop whatever it is she's trying to direct. Get really close to her and tell her as warmly as you can that this is not something that she needs to be in charge of.
Okay.
That we're not going to do it your way right now. And let her show you, let her share with you the burden of anxiety that she's carrying around things.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can reduce that anxiety during the day so that it doesn't keep you guys all up at night.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And I think one of my next steps is certainly to figure out a little bit more how that setting of the limits works. We're certainly a family that doesn't do punishments and timeouts and the other thing, but we haven't really figured out a great way to, I think, let her feel the times when, you know, there really needs to be the limits and, yeah, just how to deal with that without getting angry and upset. Also not setting punishments.
That's the key, isn't it?
Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense.
Have you been watching the little video series that we've been doing, the messy, loud, real-life parenting?
I don't think I've seen that. I've seen things here and there, but what is that series?
The next one in that series, the messy, loud, real-life parenting series, is about how not to lose it, how to not take it personally, what in the world are you supposed to do with this screaming kid once you've set the limit or once they've come up against something that isn't going their way. So, and I think that video will be ready for you guys this weekend. So that's the next thing. There's a great article on the website called What to Say During Stay Listening. There's also a booklet called Stay Listening if you have the set of booklets already, there's a bunch of stuff in the Setting Limits booklet about stay listening. And really, you don't need to say much at all.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to to enforce the limit and give her, you need to convince her to give you all that anxiety. Mm. And because you know that she's okay, but she doesn't. So she's carrying, you know, whatever frustrations. So setting a limit is really about warmly welcoming whatever comes up for her when she's not allowed to control things.
Okay.
And that, it can take some doing.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to ask just very briefly, if there's been so many things that have added up of, you know, letting her sort of control and do lots of things, do you recommend starting very slowly with the limits or all at once starting to change the way you're kind of operating daily? Does that make sense?
So I would recommend that, and I'm sure our consultants would say the same thing, you put add in the special time first.
Mm-hmm.
Before, the first change to make is to pour in some loving attention.
Mm-hmm.
You might get the opportunity to set a limit at the end of special time.
Mm-hmm.
Let it end. Let it be over when the timer is done. It's important that special time be a bounded time. Let it end and let her be disappointed. Be disappointed mm-hmm. with her. I love having this time when it's just us. I'm looking forward to the next time we have special time together, honey. I'm sorry it's over. But don't extend it.
Mm-hmm.
So if that happens, then great. You're doing both things at once. If not,
put
the special time in first. Get yourself in a regular routine. If you're going to do it like before bath time or first thing in the morning or, you know, as soon as the other parent gets home or whatever you're going to do. And get that in there and then pick a place where you'd really like to set a limit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pick a place where there's a legitimate kind of a struggle and she really does need to let you be in charge. And just start there. Start with that one thing. You don't know, honey, it's really time to go. Or, you know, whatever you want to work on. And use that one thing. But in many ways, setting limits and special time are two sides of the same thing.
Mm.
You're proactively connecting with whatever it is that's going on for them in special times, you're giving them your attention proactively. And when you're setting limits, you are reacting to their off-track behavior and mm-hmm. listening to whatever comes up in that. It's not your fault. It's not about you. It's frustration, it's whatever she says, it's not true. It's just anger. It's just frustration. It's just, you know, she's not really going to cut off your head or whatever terrible thing children can say when they're really upset. She's just describing the way that she feels in the best way she knows how right now. That's legitimately how she feels. That is her interpretation of her authentic emotional experience at this moment. And it doesn't have anything to do with you. And you're not the worst mommy in the world, I promise.
Well, thank you. This is very good information. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you came tonight. I hope it was helpful. And I know we're way over time, but I see that there are a lot of people still here on this call. If you're waiting because you're dying to ask a question, now's your time. All right, maybe not. You can always email me, and you can always look for answers and help and suggestions on the discussion groups. I hope to see you there. And if you try out our classes, I hope you enjoy them. I would love to hear how they go for you. I would love to know about your experiences with our consultants or in our Parenting by Connection starter class, or if you need help finding things on the website, or if you have a suggestion for what you'd like the next free parenting call to go on our schedule to be about, I would love to hear that too. Thanks so much for being here tonight. And we'll send a replay link out. You can review what we've talked about tonight. And again, in case anybody needs it, your discount code is 2016 free play for that free podcast set so that you can listen to that information at a time that works for you in bits and pieces. Thanks so much for being here tonight. Sweet dreams, everybody.